Praise the Lord.
So today we are talking about what I've titled Mighty Foundations. I have the Mighty Foundations. The School of Greatness, Part 3 or Class 3. Tell your neighbor, welcome to class. Say to your neighbor, Mighty Foundations. So, what is a foundation? A foundation in general is an underlying base or support upon which something is built or established. It's an underlying base or support upon which something is built or established.
Amen.
Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11 verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, there are some options. The righteous can lament. He can cry. That's what he can do. He may be also consider, he may also need to consider starting a new foundation entirely. A new building entirely. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? He may lament about what has happened, or he may have to decide to start a new foundation again. And you know, it is always very expensive to start again after it has collapsed. It's always very expensive. It's not impossible, but it's expensive. Are you getting me? It's not impossible, but it's expensive. And that's why teachings like this, we should take it seriously. See, one of the major reasons why I began this greatness series, God opened my eyes to this generation. He showed me something. He said, if you don't begin to talk loud about things like this to the generation, they will make mistakes that they should have avoided. They will make terrible mistakes. Terrible mistakes. So please, I'm begging you. I feel like kneeling down, but I'm begging you. Let me say the way we used to say it. They are standing with their phone like this. I'm on my knees. He says, I'm on my knees. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Come read from verse 25 together. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, I want to hear our voices. Verse 26, 1, 2, 3, go. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you realize that the same wind and the same flood that came upon the house on the rock came upon the house on sand? But the response and the effect was different. Do you know what this means? It means that many times, not all the time, many times in life, what happens to people is much more about who they are than the circumstance. The event outcome of your life, I know you began from a rough foundation, a rough background, this happened, that happened, but the eventual outcome of a man's life is more about what he does to himself than what others do to him. The same heat that melts butter hardens egg. Are you following me? So the storm is not the issue. In many cases, the storm is not the issue. The foundation is the issue. Are you getting this? And this is why I want to take this teaching very serious. We have called it Mighty Foundations. So what do we mean by Mighty Foundations on this, in the School of Greatness? We are saying, what are those things that you must pay attention to? Before we start talking about the nitty-gritty of what to do to become great, what are the foundations of the things that if you don't have it, where are we going to begin from? So there are many, but in this service, we will take only three, and I've groups them into three like this way. Number one is pictures. Say after me, pictures. Pictures. Say it again, pictures. Pictures. Number two, principles. Say after me, principles. Principles. And number three, power. Say after me, power. So let's start with pictures. What does pictures mean in the context of Mighty Foundations for Greatness? Pictures represent a compelling vision of the future. A compelling vision of the future. And we are simply saying, what is your vision for the future? What have you seen in the future? Are you with me? Let me tell you something here. It is never too late to see. Abraham was 75 and God was telling him, I will make of you a great nation. Are you with me? Yes, what have you seen? Let me tell you, there should never be a point in your life when you are not seeing something in front of you. Blessed be the Lord God, for he has shown me marvelous kindness in a strong city. I thought you would say that to yourself. Blessed be the Lord God. He has shown me marvelous kindness in a strong city. He has shown me marvelous kindness in a strong land. Glory! When we first came, that venue was the Tigris Studios. It was very small like this. Where is our drum is? If you put all this equipment now, the whole venue is collected. And every day as I drove to service, I kept on saying, blessed be the Lord God. He has shown us marvelous kindness in a strong city. Has made room for us in the land. He has brought us to Rehoboth. So number one, pictures. A compelling vision of the future. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. Do you know what that means? It means that there is what you will see that will give you laws to keep. There is what you will see about your future. It will influence the way you behave today. Ask your neighbor, what do you see in the future? Ask them again, what have you seen in the future? You know, we used to say, those days, we used to say, what you do today determines what will happen tomorrow. But I prefer to say it like this. That's true and correct, but me, I prefer to say it like this. What you have seen in the future will determine what you do today. What you have seen will determine what you will do today. I know this may sound like motivation, but it's not. God asked me to teach it. Are you with me? The Lord asked me to teach it. And I had a struggle. I'm like, Lord, I want to talk about Christ, Christo, the work of Christ, the things of the Spirit. So Lord said, see, the people you are talking to here, the Bible says, new wine must be poured into new wineskin. The wineskin must change. Are you with me? What a man has seen about tomorrow will determine what he will do today. Those people who are close to me, they have heard me say things like this. Every man that will be great must have a vision that will either keep him up late at night or cause him to wake up very early in the morning. You must have something that is compelling you. Truth be told, most people have a vision of their future, but it's not compelling enough. The way they're acting, you ask them, are you sure you really believe this thing you say you want to be? It's not compelling them enough. Every man that must be great, you must have something that is either keeping you awake late at night or causing you to wake up early in the morning. Not the one you just wake up saying, today, what's going to do, safe? Start watching Z-Word. You watch the first movie. You watch the second one. There's nothing wrong with watching the movie. But when you spend 12 hours of a day watching the movie, your eyes are pinning you. But you say, no, I must finish the third one. Your eyes are pinning you. You are tired, but you are still watching. Come on! Don't you have something pulling you, except you want to be a movie producer. In fact, stay there. Are you with me? Maybe you want to be a newscaster or something. Maybe that, if that is the line of your vision, you can as well hug the hug the TV. The dreams that bear greatness are not the ones you see in your sleep. They are the ones that will not let you sleep. And I'm not saying destroy your health. Sleep well, but know when you must be awake to bet something for your future. Am I talking to you? Something compelling. A compelling vision of the future. You know, you see the way some people act. You are wondering, do you even believe in your future? Do you believe that you have a future? Something happened recently. One of our pastors in his house, he called someone to repair an appliance and do some work. And in his benevolence, or in our pastor's benevolence, he paid the person the full money for all the work. And this guy did 10% of the work and disappeared. My question is, even if it's 1 billion, won't it finish? Once the money finish, don't you have a plan that they will call me again? Are you with me? No, he just took the money and left. Guess what? There was a bigger contract. We wanted him to come and do a bigger job in this place, but he was nowhere to be found. Because he went with, are you with me? The small one. He's not thinking about the future. That's the problem. Some people, they are too present conscious that they forget the future. That was the problem of Esau. Urgent 2K. I want to survive. I just give me urgent 2K. Esau can sell his birthright just to eat. If I was Esau and I wanted to ask Jacob for food to sell my birthright, at least I would say, we are going to, this birthright I'm giving you, you will give me food for the rest of your life. Is that not a better deal? And say, Jacob, okay, you want my birthright, no problem. But till the Lord comes, till you die, every day you make me 2 plates of porridge. That is what my birthright. You think food is a joke? After this evening, you must eat. Tomorrow, you will eat. Next tomorrow, you must eat. If you like, eat one bag of rice today. 2 weeks after, you are hungry again. It's a better sensible deal. I sell birthright, collect forever food. Your own is 1 plate. 1 plate. No vision for the future. Am I talking to you? Yes, 1 plate. That's how some people are. 1 plate. 1 phone. You give your virginity away. 1. At least. Hey, Pastor, you're finding trouble. Yes. What's the plan for the future? What's your compelling vision for the future? Some people, they have a track record of stealing. How can you have a track record of stealing? Are you not thinking about your unborn generation? That when they call your son name, they say, you are from that lineage. Sorry. Genesis 13, verse 14 to 15. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. What a compelling verse of the Bible. So, it doesn't matter where you are, but you can look from where you are. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yes, and the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. See, I know I am not yet up there, but I can look up. I can look up. I can look into the future and say, I know in a short while. Kaya. You started a business. You look at your business, the turnover every day. It doesn't look like it's making sense. You look at people like Dangote, Microsoft, all these people, Elon Musk. You're like, which day will I get there? Thank God people have gotten there so you can see what is possible. From where thou art, look! And God said to Abraham, he says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. That's the place we got that phrase, as far as your eyes can see. Can you tell your neighbor, how far can you see? Tell your neighbor, how far can you see? Let me tell you, everything in this world, somebody first saw it in their mind. They saw it. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Everybody, verse 2 now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Now, he's telling you that the way to run your Christian is to look up to Jesus. Are you with me? Your vision must be, I want to be like him. I am making progress to be like Jesus. That's your compelling vision, right? And he's telling you that Jesus also had a compelling vision. He's saying that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There was something set before him that made him endure what he was going through at the present moment. What has been set before you that will make you endure what you are going through? What have you set before you? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. There must be something you have set before you that will say, because of this thing, I will do some things today. Am I talking to you? And sometimes, let me also chip in this. Sometimes, for God to give you vision and expand your mind, he will give you exposure. Genesis 15, from verse 6, God brought Abraham out. I think from verse 5 to 6, God brought Abraham out and said, number the stars. Because when we are telling you that you will be a great nation, all your mind is just give me Isaac. You know, some people, they are like that. God, see, I'm not asking for much. Just give me a job of 100K. I'm fine. If I have a 100K job, I will change the world. I'll buy jets. I'll build house for my mother. God, I'm not asking for just 100K. And God is looking at me and saying like, Abraham was asking for Isaac, and God brought him forth abroad and said, now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Sometimes God will bring you out of your comfort zone, bring you to meet new people, bring you to new breed. Are you with me? So that your vision will change. Praise the Lord. I tell our sisters, some people, I just want to marry. No, marriage is great, but greatness in your destiny is a major plus to your marriage. So if I just marry, that's it. There is more. Can you see after me? There is more. I told my wife when I was getting married to her that in the name of Jesus, my marriage to you will not stop all that God has planned for you. That's a strong statement. So you may be saying, okay, pastor, where do I begin from? Where do I begin in vision? Number one, you must catch a vision, a dream for Christ. Okay, you are here now. In the next 1 year, spiritual life should have grown. I should be somewhere spiritually. What should I be doing for the Lord in the next 1 year, in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years? Should I still be the person that is struggling with this habit, struggling with this addiction? No, I should be discipling people by that time. I should be giving in millions and billions for the gospel. I should be winning more souls. When I open my mouth and talk about Christ, are you with me? People's lives should be changed. You should catch a vision for Christ. Before Christ comes, what will I do for the gospel? How many souls will I win? How many lives will be touched by me? Are you getting this? Catch a vision for Christ. Tell your neighbor, catch a vision for Christ. Number two, you must catch a dream for your preferred future. Catch a dream for your preferred future. I know you grew up in a house where 100 people use one toilet. I know you grew up in a house where 4 of you or 10 of you will sleep in one room. A preferred future will say, I will not end up, go a whole circle and come back there. Are you getting this? That my parents that suffered for me, I will buy a house and give them. Are you me a preferred future. It can you tell your neighbor better? It must be better. Let me tell you, no matter how much you have to pay, if it doesn't increase, after a while, it becomes stale. Do you know that people that used to drive Peugeot 504, 50 years ago, you know they were the big people. Drive 504 on the road today. Just drive it and see what will happen. In fact, at a point, 504 was the official government cars. Who remembers?
Hey, I forgot.
Once upon a time, that was the best. Who knows V-boot? That's still a great cow. Let me check some of the OGs. Who knows Citroen? Everywhere is quiet. You know Citroen cars. Daddy, you know Citroen, right? You see what I'm saying? Well done to the senior men. Amen. Citroen cars. A dream for a preferred future. You saw the way your parents were strong to send you to school. You will now tell yourself, my own children, they will not just go to school, but they will pay the school fees of their mates. Are you with me? A preferred future. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
And finally, on compelling vision of the future, I'm just trying to help you to catch something. You must catch a vision for contribution. How will I contribute to society? How will I contribute to my world? How will I impact my generation before going? Not everybody will be a pastor, but everybody can make an impact. Are you with me? Not everybody will carry a microphone, but everybody must make an impact. Oh, you have a tailoring business. This tailoring business will grow and begin to compete with names like Ralph Lauren, TM Lewin. Are you with me? You think contribution, I must give back something. I want, if you're a business owner, say after me in the name of Jesus. Before the Lord Jesus comes, I will employ nothing less than 1,000 people. Am I giving you pictures right now?
Yes,
see yourself in a... I know you want to just have a store and sell provisions, but you can have a store that is international, where you have branches. I'm giving you pictures. You have branches in all the states of Nigeria. Then you spread to Africa. You have branches in Congo. You have branches in South Africa. You have branches in Philadelphia, in Brazil. And people come in and buy all. Are you with me? Don't just think of that small kiosk that will be here. Oh, our Lord Jesus cometh. You are the Lord, you change it not. We are there. And so shall it be. You will be better.
Amen.
You will be greater.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that's the first thing. A compelling vision of the future. Number two. Principles. Say after me, principles. What are principles in as foundations, as mighty foundations for greatness? They are mindsets or value systems that govern your actions. Can you say after me, mindsets and value systems that govern your actions? So when it is clear where you are going to, when a picture of the future has been created, the next question you must ask is, how will I get there? What must I do to get there? There has to be principles that if you adhere to these principles, it will bring you there for sure. Are you getting this? There has to be principles. And there are so many to talk about, but in this series, I will talk about just two. The principle of excellence and virtue. So the principle of excellence and the principle of virtue. What is excellence? It is the drive to break boundaries. The principle of excellence. The drive to break boundaries. To be excellent means you come out of what was done before and do it better. That it must be done well. Are you following this? You know, people ask me, Pastor David, must there be AC in your church? I said, yes. I said, yes, there must be AC. So you want everybody to be praying. So as we begin to grow and this place becomes filled up with like 1,000 people. People are praying and sweating. Lakabalaba. And the sweat is... But then somebody raised up his hand, the smell will make another person fall under annoyance. Not anointing. Is that what you want? Okay, no. You want... I did not take picture of somebody sweating in the prayer hot. No, it's not by the magnitude of the sweat that makes the prayer hot. It's by the temperature of the spirit. Which bank have you entered without an AC? To you, it's normal. If you enter a bank that there is no AC, you'll be wondering, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which bank have you entered? If you enter a bank, there's no AC, collect your money. It can be better. To be excellent means I will do it well and I will improve on it. Now, you know why I chose this principle first? To be excellent, it will affect a lot about your life. That means you have to be intentional. No, excellence does not happen by chance. It's only accident that happens by chance. Excellence does not happen by chance. It is only accidents that happens by chance. You have to be intentional. You have to say, I will ensure that this happens. I will make sure that I do this and that. To be excellence means you will go for knowledge. To be excellence means you will have to intentionally tell yourself, I will be diligent. Let me even talk about knowledge a little bit. See, if you want to be excellent, you will never join them again. School is scam. School is scam. If you have not gone to school, go to school. No matter how old you are, you can go to school. Get serious. Sharpen your mind. Our pastors know, if you are a pastor in New Breed or you are a minister in New Breed, every now and then I'm giving them books. Read this book and summarize. Read this book and send a 10-sentence summary on it. Read this book and send a 10-sentence summary on it. Read this book. Because I must develop. I must be intentional. Are you with me? No. You cannot be sleeping like you are competing with the dead and you want to make it in the land of the living. I know that one is very harsh. I'm sorry. Excellence. It must be done well. It can be done better. Now somebody say, Pastor, excellence, okay, you're just saying you should dress fine. See, excellence is not just about how you appear. Even though it will eventually affect how you appear, it must be your underlying principle. You go to use the toilet. You poo. There is water. You leave the place brown with poo and walk away. No. Not so. An excellent man will ensure that it, I cannot come somewhere and leave it worse than I met it. Are you getting me? I cannot come somewhere and leave it worse than I met it. I must improve on it. That's the spirit of excellence. It's either I keep it at this, the good and great state I met it, or I improve on it before I leave. You know, when we came here, the facility operators were telling us, don't do this like this. Make sure you... I said, see, Oga. Now your facility will collect. When we are going, you will beg us. They said that most times when people come, when they use the place, they want to collect everything. They want to ensure. Oh, I said, what is it? Sir, we will repair your toilet, build a new one, and leave it for you.
Yes, sir.
He said, I must collect everything. Every nowhere I live, I must collect them. I've even asked some people, you move into the house, they moved out. Oh, they collected everything, even the ceiling. They collected the ceiling, collected the tiles. Say, my one cupboard no good made for that house. My one cupboard no good remain. Come on. You must have a track record that wherever I step my feet and pass. Are you getting it? I leave it better than I met it. You know, I said something last week Sunday that somebody said that black, the black race was not called black because of the color of their skin, but because of the color of their mind. And he pained me so much, and I told them it doesn't have to be white to be right. Yes, but let me tell you something. When you work with some white people, you sometimes you are wondering, how did these people get their minds to be like this? How did they get their minds? I remember one day, and I was still working in Well Data. It was an oil servicing company. And one of our white engineers came, Engineer Terry. He came, and he had to work with one of my colleagues. And while he was walking, he said, have you had anything for lunch? He said, no. And this man counted 20,000 naira and gave him. Go and eat something good, keep the rest. My boss, my Nigerian boss was angry. He said, that money too much now. Give him 1K, just 1,000. Where I was like, that's the problem. The white man believes that if I take care of my people well enough, they will do a better job. In fact, there are some oil wells you want to do to work in abroad. Before you walk into the what they call wire line, okay, you may not understand that, but before you get into the place where you begin to operate the equipment, there is a machine you will pass through that will tell if you are psychologically okay for the job. You will pass through some machines and they will check you if you are emotionally balanced. Aye. That is excellence. You are not just thinking about the machine, but you are thinking about the people, the organisms. I made up my mind that in Newbury Christian Community, anybody working with me, to the best of my ability, I will take care of them. They should not be saying, why even DSF? Why am I here? Are you getting me? When you have excellence in your spirit, it will not begin to reflect even in the way you dress. You don't just wear one rumpled ramshack. Even if you have a small thing, you iron it well. Are you getting me? You appear neat. You appear clean. You say, if I look too good, nobody will help me. No, if you look like a beggar, they will give you beggar's help. When billionaires help themselves, is it 50 naira or 200 naira they give themselves? You think those people don't have need? They have big needs and they get big help from themselves. Say, please, I need to pay some of my clients. They are stranded at Lagos. Okay, I will send you 2 jets. That's how they help themselves. Say, no, but you want to say, help me, sir. Sir, see me. I don't finish. I don't buy. They know that if they give you 50K, that's the solution to all your problems. Not you. Can you say to me, I'm destined for greatness. I'm destined for greatness. Excellence is in my nature. Excellence is in my nature. Let me tell you, there is a problem going on in this country, not just in this country, in this generation. You say you want to be excellent. You cheat for WAEC. You cheat for NECO. You cheat for JAMB. You cheat 100 level. You cheat 200 level. You cheat 300 level. 400. You cheat masters. You cheat project defense. I want to ask you a question. If all the medical doctors in the world cheated, do you think you'd have been born? If the people that were producing drugs to help your health, if all of them cheated, maybe you would have died by now. Somebody say shots fired. That takes me to the next thing. Under the foundations of principles, the next one is virtue. I know you want to be excellent, but there are some things that you must be virtuous enough not to compromise. I know I want to appear good. I know I want to improve on where I am. I know I want to make things better, but there are some I will not steal to get it done. Are you with me? I will not lie to get it done. I will not cheat to get it done. They used to say, if you write exam and you fail, fail honorably. So, even though I was not excellent in the exam, at least I had virtue. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will not kill to make a headway. I know I want to move forward in life. I want to improve. But I am virtuous enough. You know, some things is not even about sin. There is a level your mind gets to. You are like, I'm bigger than this thing. I'm bigger than this thing. For instance, in my house, I am the only male. I have 5 ladies in my house. My daughter, my wife, and 3 others. I am the only male. You think some days it doesn't cross my mind. Girls full everywhere. Oh. You feel make move. But wait, I want to ask myself. This is not even about sin. So somebody will be traumatized for the rest of their life because they stayed with me. God forbid. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
I am bigger. Can you say after me? I am bigger than some things. I have a daughter. And I'm trusting God soon. Another one will join that one. So, God forbid, my children now grow up and hear that daddy, God forbid, I can't even say it. Auntie Melinda had one child. Hey, dude, how does that sound? How does that sound? I am big, say after me, I'm bigger than some things. Virtue. You go to, they gave you, they made you financial secretary of a company. And because of you, the company went bankrupt because you stole money. How does that sound to you? Tell people, have some virtue. Tell people,
have some virtue.
There are some people, you cannot believe anything they say. If they say good morning, check, it's in the evening. If they say good night, it's good morning. Look at Psalm 78. From verse 72. So, if you are trying to define what virtue means, you can write solidity of character. Solidity of character. When a man is virtuous, he has a solid character. If you give him something, you can count on him. Are you getting me? If you give him a job, he will get it done. And if he has challenges, he will communicate it to you. Look at Psalm 78 from verse 72. This was God talking about David. He says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. Psalm 78 verse 72. Everybody read this verse 1, 2, 3, go.
So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart.
And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Do you realize that even in this verse, they put virtue first before skill? They put virtue before excellence in skill, as it were. Are you with me? He guided them by the integrity of his heart first. You will buy something 5K. You can sell it for 8,000 and make 2,000 naira profit. You will sell it for 15K. Say, I know they make any gain. Oh, you know. He said, for market, it costs. Oh. You can make 3. You can even make 100% profit, but somebody is not. That one is not enough. They must cheat you to the point where even Satan will say, yeah. Satan will be like, yeah. You buy something 5K, you sell it 25K, say, I mean, I don't even make any gain. I don't make any gain. Satan is angels say, Jesus. I want to give you an assignment. Everybody, between today and next week Sunday, read the book of Proverbs. I personally believe that God kept that book to give us personal principles. Go and read the book of Proverbs. So they have made money, but they have a very nasty character. They are excellent at their job, but they can talk to anybody anyhow, including their parents. Mom, not because you born you. They can, you know, a friend of mine wanted to get married to a lady. They are 3 months to the wedding. He called me, said, I'm done. I'm not doing again. I said, my brother, what is happening? He said, that girl is too nasty. I said, what did she do? It was not to him. It was between her and her mother. They had an argument. And they were arguing and the girl just said, waka, God punish you. He said, mommy, thunder will fire you. The guy told me, he said, Ebu God. I'm running away. You will finish what you started. He ran away. He said, I'm not doing again. He said, if this girl can curse her mother like this, I said, I'm not. I'm nothing for him. Solidity of character. Do you know how to keep your composure when you're angry? Ha, I can talk about this so many things, but we have to move on. Solidity of character. You are angry, just look at your boss. You are stupid, you are mad, idiot, bombastic elements. You just give them, when you are done, say, it was the devil. It was the devil. Then it was okay, the devil will give you a new job. We'll still talk about these things later. Next week, we are going to talk about greatness non-negotiables. Part one and part two. I'm going to drum some things. So that by the time you are done in this month, when you appear somewhere, they will say this one has been thoroughly furnished. Do you get the idea? You get it now? Please don't forget about it. Thoroughly furnished. Character, you day. Excellence, you day. Holy Ghost, you carry. Anointing, you carry. Fineness, you carry. And finally for today, the foundation of power. I'm talking about a deep relationship with God. A deep relationship with God. Look at 1 Peter 3 verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You may not read the other part, just that part. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again with a loud voice. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. He's trying to say, let God have a hallowed place in your heart. Let God have an exalted place in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. He says, according to the grace which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take it how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I know the context here is ministry and the doctrine of ministry. Paul saying, I have laid the foundation of doctrine in ministry and every man should take heed. But we can learn from this. He says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Help me, Jesus Christ. You must have a solid foundation with the Lord. Because a day will come that after your principles and after your vision, you will have questions that only God can answer. Are you with me? You will get roads that only the hand of God can help you cross. You know the popular scripture, Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning. So it's a foundational thing you must have. Proverbs 21 verse 31. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So you can have your principles right. You can have a compelling vision, but eventually, after you have done all there are things that you cannot do. There are things that only God can do for you. I'm going to read some interesting verses to you. Look at Ecclesiastes 3 verse 13. It says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Hey! That you can labor, That you can have a compelling vision and have a principled life and it produces the result, it is the gift of God. You know, I've not seen people say, I don't do all this religious stuff, I'm a principled man. I'm a principled man, I don't do religious stuff. See, there is a day you will come that you will get to that your principles outside God will fail you. That every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Look at Ecclesiastes 5 verse 19. Every man also to whom God had given riches. Now, this is very interesting. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 19. Every man also to whom God had given riches and wealth and had given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, it is the gift of God. That means he's trying to tell you, any man you see wealthy today, God allowed him. Are you getting this? The one that say I don't believe in God needed the help of God to succeed. You don't understand. Even the one that says I don't believe in God, go and study about all the great men you admire, whether in music, in industry, in business. They will tell you there was just some of them call it luck. At some point, something just happened that helped them to scale up. Take Bill Gates. Why was it when his prototype was ready that his mother became a board member of IBM? And his mother spoke to the current, the operations manager, and said, my son has developed a prototype. Can we try it on your computers? And they tried it on the first one and it worked. And they said, you know what? For every software we buy from Bill Gates, we are going to give him a royalty fee. That was how he became rich. So somebody else will say, it's just by, see, if God does not plant something somewhere to favor you somehow, after all your labor, nothing. Can you say after me, Lord, my eyes are on you. Say it again, Lord, my eyes are on you. Now look at Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Kai! Remember we're talking about foundations here, right? So for you to build, there must be foundation. Except the Lord build the house, labor but in vain. You can labor in vain. All of us, we have tasted it in a little way. I remember my 400 level. That semester, I could swear that I will have 5 points. See, reading. Have you read for 20 hours before? I mean, 20 hours straight. I put my leg inside water and pour coffee straight in my mouth. Don't do it, though. Because I know the kind of migraine headache that thing gave me. For a whole week straight, I was reading about 20 hours every day. It paid off in some ways, but the place I was expecting it to pay off the most, it did not. There was one subject, tribology. Eh? You know when you cram the entire book, then you solve from answers to question. I didn't understand anything. I said, okay, the answer was 45.27. Okay, I'll give space equals to 45.27 and start. I will solve back, remember all the formulas. I had an AO. The one that I now understood, I said, you know, this one, you know, easy peasy. C, some D. I said, the devil is at work. That's why it's D here. Yeah. Eventually, it dawned on me that, see, after you work hard, put your faith in God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman, wicked but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the security man is not enough. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Psalm 127 from verse 2. You know, if you actually take this principle of power and latch onto God properly, even the other first two, he will give you. He will begin to change your mindset. He will begin to change your principles. Look at verse 2. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Hey! For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Let me explain what this means. Remember I told you that every great man must have a vision that will keep him awake at night or early in the morning, right? But he's telling you that a man can sit up late or wake up early, and without the Lord, he will still eat the bread of sorrows. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It means that somebody can be rising up early, waking up late, or staying up late, eating the bread of sorrow, but the one that is God's beloved, when that one is sleeping, he will still be having results. Are you getting me? Meaning, As you work hard, you will not kill yourself. Somebody will kill himself and still not have the result of somebody who is not working as hard as him. When the one is tired, he say, Lord, I am your beloved. I'm going to sleep now. Are you with me? He will go and sleep. The other one is there still hustling. Then the one that is sleeping still had more. I pray. The Lord gives you the sleep of the beloved. Amen. I want to hear a louder amen. Amen. You receive the sleep of the beloved. That's your little effort to produce big results. In the name of Jesus, that your effort will be colored and your errors will be covered. I want a better amen to that. Your efforts will be colored and your errors will be covered. See, I have seen cases where somebody had the money to purchase an equipment. He got there with the money. Dollars. The person said, I don't like you. Don't buy. We don't want to sell to you. You don't understand. We don't want to sell to you. When we came here and we began our discussions with them, the owners of the facility, the man looked at me and said, why are we even helping you people save? It's like it's your face. My mind, I remember that my face has been anointed with oil. No, I must. Can you say that I must be favored? No, I have to be favored. Favor is my DNA. You better talk. I say favor is my DNA. Favor is my DNA. Because I am the beloved of God. Glory! Final verse. As you jump on your feet. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 from verse 5 to 6. I was talking about the parable of the sower. It says, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, it says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no roots. They withered away. Does this not resemble what we read at the beginning, Matthew 7, that the storm fell on stony ground, the storm came on the house on the rock, and the storm came on to the house on the sand, and one was scattered and one still stood strong. He's saying that there are people that will spring up. Look at verse 5. He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. It may look like, oh, I don't have any debt with God, but you are still springing up. A day is coming where the sun will come out. Are you seeing this? He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. So there are people who it looks like, oh, they are not serious with God, but they are springing up. A day is coming where the sun will come out. Are you getting me? So I want to ask you, do you have roots with the Lord? Now is the time to build it. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a Bible study life? When last did you hear God speak to you? When last did you hear the Spirit of God guide you? Now is the time to build roots. Where is your anchor? When everything is failing, you have an anchor, something you hold on to. Are you getting me? There are some roots that are called anchorage roots. That no matter what wants to fall, no matter how much the fiber roots want to give way, this one cannot give way. You must have something like that in your life. Jump on your feet.